What's up, Noel Nation? I am Jesse from Plant the Spear, ready to preview this game coming up on Saturday between number 4 Florida State versus those Wake Forest freaking Demon Deacons, man. Pain in the side they have been for Florida State the last few years. Is it time to snap that 3-game streak, deliver some ACC revenge tour up to Winston-Salem? That's what I'm hoping for, but we're here to talk about it. I'm grateful to be joined by my friend and colleague, Michael Hinton. Michael, how are you doing, my man?
I'm good. I'm ready. I cannot wait to get to Snuggy Hill and just unload a whole bunch of cans of you-know-what.
I know, man. This is one of those games that I know a lot of Florida State fans, myself included, have had circled on the calendar for a long time. Of course, obviously, you know, you always got the big ones, LSU and Clemson and the rival games and all that stuff is fun. But, man, this has just been one of those games, you know, the last few years where it's like it's time for some payback. Like this 3-game losing streak that we've had to Wake Forest is something that has to end. And, you know, when you talk about Florida State as a whole, I mean, they've won 7 of the last 10. So this has been really one of those situations where Florida State – Wake Forest doesn't, they're not good often, but they've had a little run of success when they had Sam Hartman. This has been one of the best periods in their program history against catching Florida State at one of the lowest points in 40 years. That has a lot to do with it because Florida State is 30-9 with one tie all time against Wake Forest. Like we said, they've won 7 out of the last 10. They're a 20.5 point favorite coming into this one. So it looks like the type of game that you would expect Florida State to show up and show out in, but we know that when you play at Wake Forest or when you play this Wake Forest team, it's just, man, it's sometimes it's a dogfight for no apparent reason.
It's a dogfight for no, like, smart reason. I just don't understand it, Jesse, why, you know, Florida State goes to Snuggy Hills, as FSU fans like to call it, why it's such a hard place to win in. You know, over the last 10 games that we've played there in Winston-Salem, you know, FSU is 6-4, and they've lost the last two. And I know we'll talk about this later in our score prediction, but it just, we struggle to score there. Crazy things happen there. I mean, officiating gets all wonky, tip balls, just weird catches, you know, things that just we would normally not see in the whole season ends up happening there. And if you're new, I'll say this, if you're new to the FSU bandwagon and you're wondering why, you hear some angst about this idea, as Jesse said, we're 30-9 against them all time, but they are like this little just gnat that just won't leave you alone. Yeah. And so we've circled this game. Yes, it's Wake. Yes, they're terrible. Yes, we're ranked number 4, but this is the game that we would like to put a 60 burger on them.
100%. This is the one that you really want to lay it on. And, you know, I went up to that game up to Wake Forest in 2015, and it really is like it's a nice little stadium for what it is. They're the smallest, or they were, I don't know before expansion, but they were the smallest school in Power 5. So it's really kind of a sleepy game day atmosphere. There's not a whole lot going on up there. But even then, like it was kind of an overcast, boring day. There's just not a whole lot going on up there. And sometimes you really got to kind of find your own energy in a game like this because it's not going to be that big game environment. You can't sleepwalk through it. You got to show up ready to play because they're used to that. And you know, Florida State, you can't walk in there and think that you're going to just roll the helmet out there and beat them because they're going to be ready. They are a scrappy team, but
I wonder if Mike Norvell made them practice in silence to get to used to the environment that they're going to go play in.
I know, right? Just let some crickets out on the practice field or something. And that's the thing, man, is like, really, when you talk about this game going up there and the success that they've had, a lot of that had to do with Sam Hartman. Now, they've lost their all-time leader in school history in passing yards. They lost A.T. Perry, who was a back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver, which had a lot to do with their success. But, man, you know, just being honest, like these last few years, you know, Dave Clawson, he deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do at a school. He's done a lot with less. But, man, he's kind of become arrogant the last few years. And like, they're some of their fan base and things like that with the school putting out there the fastest growing brand in the ACC and all this nonsense.
Absolutely ridiculous.
They don't have anyone. The only people that watch a Wake Forest game are they're interested in who they're playing, not so much Wake Forest.
Correct.
So it's all eyes on Wake when they're playing Florida State or Clemson or something like that. But man, like, that's why this game is one of those you really just want to deliver a nice heaping helping of humble pie to the Wake Forest program in general. So
taste it and love it.
Exactly. So we know last year that Wake Forest got the best of Florida State at home, 31-21. But really a big problem in that game was Florida State couldn't, because we know they lost Fabian Lovett, they couldn't really blow up that mesh point on the defensive line. That's really what hurt them in that game. They ran for over 100 yards on you, and they did throw for a lot, but it was the run that really kind of kept the chains moving in that one. And that should be a different story this year. So that's something I'll be watching in this one. But, man, it's like, as we get ready to talk about Wake Forest, like, the really the story, the thing that always stands out about Wake Forest is that daggone offense that they run. And now, being that we are coming up on a holiday here, and it's about to be Halloween weekend, so hopefully there's no spooky things that come out. But, you know, I'm sorry to offend the fans of it. But, Michael, I'm going to ask you, what's harder to stomach, eating candy corn or watching the slow mesh offense? Because both of them are pretty terrible.
It's so funny. I it's funny because I'm actually a huge fan of candy corn.
Oh no, I'm not a huge fan of the slow mesh offense.
But definitely not a huge fan of the slow mesh offense. I would rather go to the dentist and have like 8 root canals than to watch the slow mesh offense. It is it is literally the most frustrating, ridiculous offense in the world. The dude literally takes the ball and rides the running back all the way up into the pocket, and then as he's checking on the linebackers, if they don't come down, then they give it and they run like 6 or 7 yards, and if they do come down, then he's got one-on-one coverage and he throws it deep, and it's like, oh my.
And it's like, how do you not get a illegal man down field call every time they throw the ball? And it's frustrating to watch because it's one of the only teams that do it.
Because it's ACC refs.
Exactly, in North Carolina. And I will say that, like, it's when you look at the slow mesh offense, they do it well. And I will give it to them. Do. And I think a lot of it has to do with kind of like the triple option that you see with Georgia Tech. Like, if you can't acquire a high level of talent, which we know that they historically have not at Wake Forest, then you got to almost kind of have some kind of gimmick to, you know, even things out. And I think that's a lot of why they've adopted that slow mesh offense, and they found some success with it. But again, I think a lot of it coming into this year, their storyline for Wake Forest was, can they succeed without Sam Hartman? Because we know that they had not found much success without him before he was there. I think it was like 1 winning season in like 10 years or something like that before he got there.
ACC title season. Yeah.
Right. So it'll be interesting, you know, and we've already seen they're not off to a great start. So it's, you know, kind of rebuilding when you, but I mean, when anytime any school loses a generational player like that, it's going to be hard to recover from. Right. But talking about Wake Forest, getting into this game first, actually, let me give you a quick word from our sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. Guys, go load up on their licensed FSU apparel. You guys are going to love what they got. I think they just dropped the new military appreciation collection as well. And you can get it at a great price using code SPEAR online or in-store, alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page or 1817 Thomasville Road in Tallahassee. So go check those guys out, and thank you for them sponsoring the show. That's code SPEAR for 10% off. But Michael, talking about Wake Forest, here's something that stands out to me. When we talk about, we'll first dive into their schedule a little bit, talk about what their resume and what they've done. Then we'll go offense and defense and get into some predictions here. But this is something that stands out to me for Wake. When I looked it up on PFF, some of their matchup cards that they have here, Wake Forest has played the 99th hardest strength of schedule. So they really have not played anybody tough. They've only played 2 teams with a winning record, and they're 1-1 against those teams. And those teams with the winning record are both 4-3. So it's not like they played, you know, anyone who's like 6-1. One of those teams was Old Dominion, a non-Power 5, that they came back from down 14 points late in the game to win by a field goal. Correct. And Old Dominion has only beat 1 team with a winning record. Of course, we know the other team that they played with a winning record was Clemson, and they lost that game. So just really not a whole lot of tough tests for this Wake Forest team, not like you've seen for Florida State. And so, again, I think when we talked about Duke last week and then Syracuse before and then Clemson, it's kind of the narrative when Florida State comes to town, this is every team's biggest challenge so far. Now, of course, a lot of that has to do with Florida State being the number 4 team in the country. But, you know, you look at their schedule to where Florida State comes in, and it's a sharp increase in talent level and competition.
Well, yeah, I mean, this will be the toughest test, because Clemson, presented the toughest test defensively. And no offense to FSU and Adam Fuller. I'm a big Adam Fuller fan, and our defense is great. But Clemson has a really good defense. It's probably, you know, outside of Duke, is the one of the best defenses in the ACC, and Florida State's right up there with them. But Clemson's defense is legit. And Clemson held them to 12 points. I mean, they were terrible offensively. The reason that I went back and watched that game, the reason why that game is so close is because Clemson has a terrible offense. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
They have a
they do.
Terrible offense. And so that's why that game was close. But that was their second hardest test. Florida State will be the most difficult test they play because it'll be the first dynamic offense that they will see all season. Probably the only one they'll see as dynamic, and a actually decent defense. You posted about it this week on Instagram of that defense and how well it's actually playing. So this will be the first whole team that Wake Forest will see. And I think Florida State, if they show up, if they don't take this lightly, if they come meaning business, and there are a lot of people on that team that played last year that felt the embarrassment of losing at home to Wake Forest 31-21, I imagine they're going to show up with blood in their eyes, ready to go.
I think so, too. And, you know, that's the thing. One thing that I talked about last year when we were approaching the Miami game, I looked at some of their opponents, and it was crazy how – like every opponent they played was hot or cold on one side of the ball. And like when you look at LSU, number one offense in the country, their defense is atrocious. Yes. And then like Clemson, their defense, I believe in the advanced metrics, is six in the country, but their offense is not great. And but then when you talk about Florida State, they are within one spot. I think one is 12th and one is 13th or something, or 11th on offense and 13th on defense, and then like 12th on special teams. So Florida State is one of those teams that presents a unique challenge where they're good on both sides of the ball. It's not like they just have to win in a shootout, or it's not like they're trying to win 13-7. They can beat you by scoring 30 points, and they can also beat you by, you know, holding you to three like they did with Syracuse. So that's a different kind of challenge than, like you said, than they faced with Clemson, who is really good on defense. But their offense puts them in a lot of bad positions because, you know, their Cade Klubnik is still a turnover machine who just makes rogue decisions. Like, hey, just hand the ball off. And it's like, whatever.
Is it nah?
Exactly. I'm the captain of this ship now. So, like, he does whatever, you know, he does whatever he wants. So, you know, and they're in trouble. So I bet they wish they had DJ back right now.
I bet they wish.
Anyway, but I digress. So talking about the schedule here for Wake Forest, game one, 37-17 win over Elon, who's a 4-4 FCS school. Honestly, the score wasn't overly impressive there, a 20-point win over Elon. But, you know, again, you got the first game with a lot of new pieces for Wake Forest. Maybe. Now, I will say the thing that stood out to me in that game, the quarterback rating, QBR, for Mitch Griffith in that game, it was his first game starting, was only 40, so not great. They only averaged 2.8 yards per carry on the ground, running it for 98 rushing yards. And Elon sacked them five times, so they got some pressure. And that's something that we're going to talk about when we get into the offense. It's a narrative of this Wake Forest team. They're pretty bad at allowing pressure and sacks. And then when you look at game two, I don't know if you had any thoughts on the Elon game, or we'll get kind of a little bit farther.
Yeah, I mean, it's Elon. Like, you really couldn't learn. I mean, the most glaring thing I think you said was the QBR. I mean, if you struggled that much as a quarterback against Elon, it's going to show up every game.
Right, and he also threw a pick six in that game too. So six and five sacks against an FCS team. That, you know, again, that's what makes you think on paper Florida State should come in and handle their business. So game two, they beat Vandy 36-20. Vandy's struggling this year. I thought maybe they'd actually be decent. I bet that one, like that one or two, three guys that voted them to win the SEC. I hope that was a joke at this point, because that was a terrible prediction.
Honestly, this is the thing. Just as a side note, I every time I look at Vandy, I'm like, the SEC is only keeping them to curve their like academic progress rate or something, because this is a broke program as far as athletes are concerned, and they could just kick them on out and add FSU and, like, you know, be 10 times the athletic program. But Vandy's always the one thing that's holding them back.
Right. But I think the funny thing, on a side note, the thing about this is a perfect case of when you talk about conference realignment. You have a team like Vandy, who's never won anything in anything with football. And yet they're making more money, $20, $30 million more a year than Florida State and Clemson, who have six combined national championships. Make it make sense. So
make it make sense, man.
Make it make sense. So, but they beat Vandy. We'll get back to the subject at hand here. But they beat Vandy 36-20. So that was a pretty good win at first. Yeah. You're like, okay, all right, they got by them. Now, when you talk about that game, Vandy did have three turnovers.
Yes,
so
they did.
That was and a scoop and score. So that had a little bit to do with their – they had a little better QBR in this game of 79. They ran the ball better in this game. Wake Forest did 6.0 yards per carry. But, again, you're talking about Vandy here, who in advanced metrics, their defense ranks 110th. They ranked 92nd overall as a team. So, really, you expect them to put up the points in that game. And just Vandy's just kind of a bad showing all around there. So,
yeah.
Vandy still put up 423 yards on him too. So,
And the thing about that Vandy game was, and I made a note of this because this is going to be a theme when we get into the ACC games. Vandy only was penalized five times for 42 yards in that game.
Yeah. That's interesting. And there, like you said, there's some more we're going to touch on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So now game three is Old Dominion. They won 27-24. Now, keep in mind, two things to keep in mind with Old Dominion here. So, Old Dominion, they did beat Southern Miss, a team that you beat 66-13. They beat them 17-13. And we know Southern Miss, they are bad this year. They're like 1-6, I think. So, they're pretty terrible. So, that was close. So, that kind of gives you they're on the same level as Southern Miss, a team that you beat by 50 million points. And Wake Forest won that game 27-24 after coming back down 14 points late in the third quarter. This is also a team that Virginia Tech beat by like 20-something points as well. So a really close call there against Old Dominion. They rank 96 in advanced metrics, offensive 103rd, defensive 77. So pretty tough there. Now, when you look at this one, what stands out to me in this game, Griffith was the quarterback still, and they've had three different quarterbacks play this year, so we're going to touch on each one of them individually. Yep. But he had a QBR of 18.6 in this game. That was just terrible. And they also, when you talk about running the ball, 97 rush yards, 2.3 yards per carry. That's not great. And Griffith did throw two interceptions in that game. And this is a team, and I'll touch on this later, but this is a team that's been pretty turnover prone. So
yes.
And I will say one thing that really you have to point out about this Old Dominion game, and this is going to – we'll touch on this again in the defensive segment, but when you look at the sacks that they've created, Wake Forest, they've created 17 sacks on the season. This is one of the most unreal stats that I've ever heard. They sacked Old Dominion's quarterback 10 times.
Yes, they did.
How did that guy not just quit at halftime? Like, I'm done with this. Y'all can just punt on first down. I don't care. I'm not standing back there anymore risking my life for this team. But that's
I would have begged the coach to make those offensive linemen run stadium steps when we
after
got
the
back.
Game.
After
you,
the game.
You don't even get to go home. You got to run stadiums in the stadium before we leave. But ODU is dead last in sacks allowed in college football. So that's part of the problem there. But like I said, when you talk about they've got 17 sacks on the year, five of those came against Elon. 10 of those came against Old Dominion. So they've only had two sacks in the other five games. So that's what really stands out to me there. Now, the better sample set to use here is their last four games because it was against all ACC opponents. Now, these are not the murderer's row of ACC opponents outside of maybe Clemson, who appears to be getting worse by the week. So to start out with, they lost to Georgia Tech 30-16. Georgia Tech is currently 3-4, not having a great year. And, of course, they beat Miami, so there's that. You know, hat tip to you, Georgia Tech.
Thank you.
Miami probably lost that game more than anything, but still, you're talking about a team that is 77th in advanced metrics, 60th on offense, 84th on defense. Wake did put up 400 yards in that game.
Yes, they did, man.
But what really stands out for that one, Wake Forest had five turnovers in that game.
Three fumbles, two interceptions.
And it was just bad. QBR rating for Griffith in that game was 15. Well, that's less than great.
Yes.
4.3 yards per carry on the ground, but they did run for 224 yards. So they ran a lot in that one.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing, too, is Georgia Tech had 14 penalties for 142 yards.
Gosh, yeah.
And still managed to win that game because of those turnovers.
The turnovers were the only thing that kept them in the game because, you know, typically you have 10-plus penalties. Your percentage of winning goes to the negative drastically.
Yeah, so that's And you're hoping you can repeat some of that in this game. You're hoping that you can force some turnovers. And I do have a stat on them where right now they are currently -5 in turnover margin. So not so great at creating, but very opportunistic to get some turnovers on them. So hopefully that's something that we can see make a difference in this game. Game 5, they lost to Clemson 17-12 at Clemson. This game was kind of a shocker to me because we had just come off where Florida State beat Clemson in overtime, and you were kind of like, okay, so, you know, Clemson's probably better than their record is.
Right.
And then you see a struggling Wake Forest team go up there and have a 5-point loss. It's kind of crazy. And like we talked about, I mean, Clemson has the 6th ranked defense in advanced metrics, 33rd ranked offense, 20th overall. Now, Wake Forest didn't do a whole lot in this game.
No,
only
they
239
didn't.
Yards. QBR was a little better at 50.8. Only 2.6 yards per carry on the ground. So they struggled to run the ball against that defense, which is something I'll be looking for, hopefully, against Florida State, who has a similar level of defensive line. And Clemson, just they had 2 turnovers in that game. So the narrative of the Clemson season, like we was talking about, a lot of turnovers. Wake Forest didn't have a single pass touchdown in that game. Michael, I know you went back and checked that one out, so give me some of your thoughts on that Wake Forest Clemson game.
Yeah, you know, the thing you're going to end up seeing probably against Florida State is that, you know, as Wake Forest was going against Clemson, Wake Forest is like defensive line. They're small. They're really small.
Yeah.
But they are fast. And so they do a lot of slanting. They'll do some stunting. They shoot the gaps like they're like a bat out of, you know, HE double hockey sticks. And so they try to be very disruptive at the snap, because they know that if those offensive linemen gets their hand on them, it's a wash.
Right.
They're going to get pushed. They're going to get blown off the line. So they really try to be very pesky. They run a lot of zone. They'll run some man. And so I think with Klubnik, it just they mixed it up a lot. They confused him. Ran a lot of cover 4. You know, they blitzed a little bit, run a 5-man front. And I just think with that offense already struggling, it was like the perfect storm. Right. And then of course, Wake Forest could do nothing on offense. And so it was almost like Clemson just knew if they could just get a score, if they could just get somewhere, they knew they were going to win the game, because they knew that that defense was not letting that offense do much of anything. And so it was just a weird game. It's just one of those games. Yeah. Like they come into play and you're just like, wow, you look up and it's the fourth quarter and you're only up 17-12. What the heck is going on here?
Yeah. But that's one of those games where, like we just talked about, where if you're not even on both sides, you know, Clemson can still win a game defensively.
Yeah. Yep.
But, And I will say, like, when you talk about that one as well, you know, there's some things with Clemson that they got some problems. And
yes, they
so
do.
It was, while it was impressive to see them keep it that close at Death Valley, that's kind of what you expected the Clemson defense to do, to hold them to 12 points. That's what you expected. The offense, I think, was a little more surprising, but Wake's defense is not terrible. They are definitely not bad. They just haven't played a team like Florida State on offense yet. So the next game, game 6, they lost 30-13 at Virginia Tech, who's currently 3-4. We know Florida State beat Virginia Tech earlier this year, and you beat them pretty good, so you feel good about seeing this score here. Now, Virginia Tech, they currently come in 63rd in advanced metrics, offense at 83rd, defense at 53rd. Wake Forest didn't do a whole lot in this game either.
Which is crazy because, remember, Virginia Tech had like one of the worst rushing defenses in the nation, and that's why we were so excited, because we were like, we're going to get the run game going. I mean, Wake only rushed for 35 yards.
1.1 yards per carry. Again, that's just not great. And and that's one where, even, you know, we talked about with Florida State in that game where it was like, I think this is the game that you can get the running game right. This is your get right game for that rushing offense. Yes. And Florida State went out and ran the ball up and down the field. And then you have a team that could not run at all on Virginia Tech. So I'm really thinking Florida State's got a good opportunity here to make them one dimensional. Now, this was a game where 2 quarterbacks did play. This is the one where I believe Griffith got injured initially.
Yep.
Now, during his time in the game, his QBR was 20.1. And then Kern came in, I believe it's Michael Kern, right?
Yep.
Came in relief duty, and his QBR was 27.4. So you went from terrible to not quite as terrible. overall. So it was just a tough game for them there. They had three turnovers. Griffith threw an interception. But the other thing about this one, they did have a kickoff return for a touchdown. So it, while it was 30-13, they only scored 6 offensive points in that game.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, now you're talking about, you initially have a 12-point game. Well, you had a 16-point game against Georgia Tech. Then you have a 12-point game against Clemson. Then you have a 6 offensive point game against Virginia Tech. That offense is just getting more and more anemic by the week.
Yes. Yes.
But at the same time, and do keep in mind that Virginia Tech put up 462 yards on them, 321 passing yards. And keep in mind, this is a Virginia Tech team that Florida State played pretty close to each other here and held them to, I believe it was 107 yards through the air. So you shut down that passing game, and he threw all over them.
Oh, he lit them up. He didn't have to run. I mean, I don't remember what his rushing stats were, but I feel like he didn't have to run much because he was just throwing all over them.
Yeah, and they had 141 rushing total in the game. I'm not sure how much of that was Kyron Drones or not. But again, like I said, you just see their offense starting to struggle here against some of the defenses that are in the Power 5 at least.
Yeah, he was 15 for 65 yards, 3.9 average. So, I mean, he ran, but
he was effective.
He was effective, but it wasn't like he was like gashing them for his longest run was 10 yards. So,
yeah, so just enough to keep the chains moving. But still, I mean, that's just, again, when you talk, really what stands out in that one is just the rushing yards, 1.1 yards per carry. That is just, that's bad. And again, like when you talk about going back through these games, you're talking about, against Elon, 2.8 yards per carry. Then they did good against Vandy, but then 2.3 yards a carry against Old Dominion, under 5 yards against Georgia Tech, under 3 yards against Clemson. You're talking under 2 yards, almost 1 yard a carry against Virginia Tech, and then still under 5 against the next game, Pitt. So they really struggled to run the ball. Now, they did get a win against Pitt, and I got to tip my cap to Wake Forest because although it was it's a terrible Pitt team, they're 2-5, and I will give it to them that this was their first ACC win. So.
Yep.
Keep that in mind. They are 4-3, but they're 1-3 in ACC play. So anytime they played a semi-decent team, they've lost. But they were down to their third-string quarterback who had started a game. You know, maybe they picked him up out of the crowd. Who knows? Or has a walk-on tryout or something like that. I know they've done that with kickers and stuff in the past. But so they did get the win, 21-17. Yeah. It was close against a terrible Pitt team. But you did it with your third-string quarterback in his first ever game. And I will say on that subject, like, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback this week. It could be the first string guy. Griffith could make it back. It could be the third string guy. So we'll kind of have to see on Saturday. We just really don't know.
Yeah. Mike Norvell in his Monday press conference, he said that they're expecting Griffith to be back. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, I always feel like the coaches have some in with somebody. Somebody's telling them. Right. So I feel like if he was confident enough to say that we expect him to be back and not like, you know, we're going to prepare for both, which when they usually say that, I always think, okay, they have an inkling, but they're not sure. But when he was very confident, like, we expect him to be back. So I imagine that it'll probably be Griffith. If not, then Santino Marucci plays again. And, well, you know.
Yeah, and I will say that when you talk about Griffith, he is and this is something that you pointed him out to me in pre-show, and I'll let you talk about that in a second. He's more of a mobile guy. He's able to use his legs more. And one thing I did notice the Santino kid is he does air it out a little bit more. He does throw the ball deep a little bit more than the other guys do. And maybe that's just how he knows how to run the offense, just chunk it up. And he did throw a game-winning touchdown. So, like, kudos to him. But he also threw 2 picks in that game. And, you know, Pitt put up 414 yards, and their offense is awful. It is 87th in the country when you talk about the advanced metrics. So, yeah, for a really pretty bad offense to put up 414 yards, again, that's just something that you think Florida State should be able to find success on.
Well, I mean, yeah, you think they should. I mean, their quarterback, Christian, I'm not even going to try to say his last name. But I mean,
man, they said it on the broadcast, and it is not what I've been saying. So I'm going to have to, like, read the media guy before we do that.
You're like, hold on a second. That enunciation of that last name does not sound like that. But
not what I said. Not even close.
Not even close. But, I mean, the man had 302 yards. I mean, he's 28 for 45. I mean, he was throwing on that defense. I mean, he was running all over them. I mean, the Flemster kid, you know, 23 carries for 116 yards, 4.6 yards a carry. I mean, so they were getting what they want. going back to Griffith here real quick. Yeah, like you said, he's a running QB. This is actually why I actually would like him to play and not the third string Marucci, because like you said, Marucci has the deeper throw. He throws down deep. And honestly, if you go back to watch the Sam Hartman years, that's what makes that offense go. If you can get the ball down the field when those linebackers come up, when they see one-on-one coverage, right? And so Griffith is not necessarily like the greatest thrower, but he is a scrambler. And you and I both know Florida State seems like we get them every year, every game. We've faced a running quarterback. And, you know, in that Georgia Tech, he ran 20 for 70. 79 yards. In the Clemson game, he ran 14 rushes for 42 yards. And then obviously he got injured in that Virginia Tech game. And Mariucci was only 6 for 17 yards, 1.5 yards a carry in that Pitt game. So honestly, I'd rather have him play, because I feel like, okay, if we can, you know, if we can be smart in the back end, then our linebackers and our front line should eat, because they're literally going to put like, you know, 7 or 8 in the box and keep him from scrambling. But we'll see who starts, man. The coaches are confident it's going to be Griffith. You know, I don't know. I have no clue.
I think that's probably who you want, though, because like you said, he doesn't have maybe the deep shot type of off arm that the third stringer has, which is, it sounds kind of odd to say that, like you trust your third string quarterback to throw it down the field more. But like you said, that's what made them so dangerous with Sam Hartman. Yep. And really, when you talk about the talent on that team, a lot of it still is concentrated at the wide receiver position. Yep. They still have some guys there. Now, one thing that I did notice, and we will get into their offense in just a second, is that Donovan Green is out for the year, and that was big. Now, I knew they had lost A.T. Perry, but when you talk about Donovan Green, that's the guy who was second in yards last year for them with 642 receiving yards. So that's a pretty big loss. So when you talk about being able to throw the ball, you kind of want that guy who can run a little more. And I think that the advantage for Wake Forest when you talk about Griffith is his running ability, because they're pretty terrible at pass blocking.
Yes.
And we're gonna talk about that in just a second. So he does make up a little bit for their struggles up front. So just talking a little bit real quick, I'm going to kind of do some team stats and then we'll get into offense defense here. So when you talk about the advanced metrics here, and this is like we talked about the F plus rankings, which is S&P plus and FEI mixed together. So opponent and pace of play adjusted. As a team ranking, Wake Forest is 64th, Florida State is 9th. Offense is 77th, Florida State's is 12th. Defense, Wake is at 49, FSU is at 13. Special teams, Wake is at 40th, FSU is at 11th. Wake Forest is 0-1 versus F plus top 50 teams. Florida State is 3-0 versus top 50 teams. So again, on paper, you're thinking that Florida State has a decided advantage here. When you look at their EPA per play margin, Florida State comes in at 17th. Wake Forest is at 92nd. When you look at the yards per play margin, Florida State is plus 1.41 yards per play, 27th. They are actually negative 0.43 yards, which is 95th in the country. So they're actually giving up more yards than they're gaining on a per play basis. And the success rate is the same story. Florida State plus 9, 15th in the country. Success rate for them, your net success rate, 1.3%, 62nd in the country. So again, Michael, on paper, this one looks like it should be all FSU.
It looks like FSU should walk in, start the starters, and by the end of the first quarter, the third string should be in. That's what it looks like on paper.
Yep.
But we know from experience, from watching the games, from being Florida State fans since we came out of our mom's womb, that going to Wake Forest never turns out, never feels like, with the exception of a couple oddities, it always ends up being a close game. And so I'm hoping that this is an oddity year, that we go in there and just drub them. I mean, 2013, 59-3 drubbing, that we're playing hangman on the sidelines.
It always feels like this game is either way closer than it should be, or it's an absolute domination.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's going to be something that, man, it's just, but every team seems to have that. Like, that's the weird thing about college. Like, I know a lot of my family is Georgia fans. South Carolina is kind of that one, that thorn in their side. It's just like everybody's got that one team that really kind of pesters them, and Wake Forest just seems to be ours. Now, one thing I'm hoping that does play to our strength in this game, when you look at strength of schedule rankings from PFF, Florida State has played the seventh hardest schedule in the country. So they're battle tested. Wake Forest is at 99th. So you're hoping, you know, that this is kind of like you've been in the ring against, you know, your cousin Joe a few times in the backyard, and now you're getting into the ring with like Mike Tyson. And the first time you get that someone who really punches you in the face like a Mike Tyson, it's gonna not be something that you're used to. Now.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is the third true road game Florida State is going to face. So you think about the last two road games, okay? So the first one, you go to Boston College, you're up 31-10, and then you literally hang on for dear life. We don't get a face mask penalty. We're not talking about a 7-0 Florida State right now. We're talking about a 6-1 Florida State. So, okay. Then you go to Clemson, who has been, you know, the king and darlings of the ACC for the last several years. You lost seven straight to them. You go there, you gut out, you get tough, and you win in overtime. But, I mean, it's an ugly game. It's a terrible, ugly game.
Right.
So, you've been on the road. You've been on the brink of losing twice, right? So, you know what it feels like. You know what you got to do to come into this game. So, you know, the hope is that you walk into this game, Wake Forest, angry, ticked off, wanting to prove to America that Boston College game was a fluke, that Clemson game, you knew you could have played better. You just didn't, but you still got the win. And now you're going to put your foot down somebody's throat, metaphorically. Yep.
And I think that's what made you feel better after the Duke game, is you saw that one where it's like, this has an opportunity to be close. And it was close in the first half. You were kind of hanging on there for a second, and then you ended up running away with it. And that's what you want to see in this game. So let's talk about the Wake Forest offense real quick. Damn. So scoring offense, 23.1 points per game, which is 99th in the country. Not that great. And when you talk about what they did in those last four games against those little tougher opponents, ACC opponents, it was at 13.75 points per game. So that number comes down quite a bit. Their passing offense is not that great, 81st in the country, 218 yards a game. Rushing offense is a little better, 45th in the country, 145 yards per game. But like we said, they have averaged under 5 yards a carry a lot. Some games under 3 yards, 1 yard. So they're not really a great running team either. Third down offense, they're pretty decent there, 37.4, but that's 89th in the country. Red zone offense, 80th. So it's just the offense is kind of a story of just it's not great.
It's not great.
Now, I will say one thing before I toss it back to you. One of the most interesting stats that I did find on Wake Forest here, and this is something that these are the kind of little hidden gems that I love to find this is why I do so many hours of research. So when you talk about red zone, they're already 80th in the country. Now, when you talk about the percentage of red zone trips that result in touchdowns is only 37%, which is 132 out of 133 teams. So even when they struggle to make it into the red zone, they are even worse at scoring at only 37%. Now, to put that into perspective, Florida State is currently scoring at a 96.4% clip, and 75% of that is touchdowns compared to 37% for Wake Forest. So that's going to be one to watch. How do they do in the red zone? Because you're not going to beat Florida State as Wake Forest for 3 points. It's just not going to happen.
Right. And, well, one of the things I've been learning as I've tried to grow my football knowledge is that, you know, we're moving into the era of where more defenses are looking at analytics. And analytics will tell you that there's certain parts of the field where getting yards doesn't really matter. It doesn't have a lot of impact in the game itself, right? So Wake Forest has already struggled getting into the red zone. They already struggle getting to the red zone. But when they get into the red zone, it gets worse for them. So if I'm Florida State, you know, obviously because as fans, I'd love a spike baseball this week. They don't score anything, right? That'd be perfect. But
it would be Adam Fuller's first.
It would. You're right. We haven't had a shutout yet in the Fuller era. But what I'm saying is I think if Florida State took this aggressive mentality that from the 20-yard line to 20-yard line, we're literally not going to give you anything. Like, we're literally going to shut you down. And the reason why I think this is possible is because Wake Forest offense plays into this. Wake Forest is one of the fastest teams in the nation. They're running 71 plays on average per game, 501 plays total, 71 plays per game. So they will line it up. They will go. Yep. So Florida State has to be on its toes. But because they're doing that, their hope is that they're trying to catch the defense off guard. Well, I mean, we played LSU. We played, you know, I mean, Clemson was terrible. We played Southern Miss that was running at super high tempo. Virginia Tech tried to run at a high tempo. Syracuse slowed it down. Syracuse got smarter and realized, oh, if we run this at a fast tempo, we're just going to give it back to that offense. And so I wonder if Wake Forest will try to slow this down. And if so, this will be to Florida State's benefit if they play the right game, if they play smart and they between those 20s, they say you are not getting anything. They should shut this offense down. It should not be. I would be surprised, and I might be giving away my prediction here. I'd be surprised if Wake Forest scores a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, I could. I mean, I really could see that because their offense has struggled, and I think Florida State's going to be one of the better defenses. Obviously, we know it's going to be the second best defense that they face, and they have a real opportunity in this game. You know, it just doesn't happen often to shutouts anymore. It's just kind of the way football goes. Yep. But, man, it really would be nice to get a shutout. I mean, we've been so close with so many little three-point games. But, yeah, that has been one of their identities in the past was the tempo that they run. Yep. And I think the other thing, too, is, like, now this year when you see how Florida State rotates and the depth that they have. Now, obviously, you got to get an opportunity to rotate.
Right.
If they don't take anybody off the field. But if they do, Florida State can stay fresh. So you're not really going to kill them with tempo there. One of the biggest things that stands out to me about this offense is their inability to block the pass rush.
Oof.
So while on paper it doesn't sound too bad when you talk about their pressure percentage is only at 36.2%, they have allowed 31 sacks this year, 4.4 sacks on average per game, which is 125th in the country. Against Clemson, they were under pressure 52.9% of the time. And now that's a similar skill set on defense as what Florida State has. So I'm thinking Florida State's defensive line is going to be able to eat in this game. And then you also talk about their 128th in tackles for loss allowed at 8.71 tackles for loss per game allowed. So, man, I think the defensive line, I think this front seven is going to be able to eat in this game. I think that this is a game where they're really just going to be able to win the battle in the trenches and overwhelm Wake Forest. Because like we talked about last year, you struggled to blow up that mesh point when you had a freshman defensive tackle and Josh Farmer was kind of your best guy there with Fabo out. Now you have such a dominant defensive line. I think you should be able to push those offensive linemen into the backfield and not allow them to hold that ball as long as they do.
Right.
And, you know, this offense is also not that explosive. They're 107th in plays over 20 yards. So, you know, they're not the most explosive offense. They do struggle to move the ball. When you talk about their success rate, on average, is only 39.8%, which is 92nd in the country. And even then, like we talked about, when you talk about who they have faced so far, their top 50 scoring defenses, they've only faced one, and that is Clemson at 40th, zero in the top 60, and Florida State is 21st. So when you talk about scoring defenses, Florida State's going to be the toughest one that they've faced.
Yeah.
And obviously, like we talked about in advanced metrics, Florida State's second, but it's going to be a challenge for them. I think that the biggest thing in this game, like I said, I don't think they're going to be able to block this front.
Well, you know, the thing is, I agree with you. I don't think they will be able to block this front. But I'll tell you who will be able to block this front: the referees.
Yeah,
I know some people probably get sick of this, but you don't understand this Wake Forest team at home. They get the benefit of almost every call, and so I mean Pitt had 13 penalties for 101 yards called against him. You know how many Wake Forest had? 4. I watched that game, and I could count on like all my hands and toes, fingers and toes, the holding that I saw that did not get called. I mean, like, and not just like the little like tug, you know, holding. I mean, like blatant dude is rolling his hand doing cartwheels, and their referees are like, I don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. So, yes, Florida State should, like, get in the backfield. They should sack. They should be, I mean, just blowing up that offensive line if the referees will call exactly what they see, you know? I'm sorry, Jesse. I know I keep saying I won't wear the conspiracy hat band, but I'm feeling conspiracy this weekend. I'm telling you. Oh.
Well, you know, Florida State already – doesn't feel like they ever get the benefit of the doubt when you talk about the referee situation. And then this is our only game in North Carolina,
yep,
as close as you can get to the ACC headquarters. So I'm sure it's going to be on full display. I mean, you're probably, you know, you're going to want to put a save a few extra quarters for the swear jar after this game, because it's going to make you mad. But yeah, man, I just think, again, like, this offense has struggled this year. And so I think Florida State's defense, who has done really well against the pass, I think that you should be able to really kind of control them. And I think they're going to have a good day on offense, or I mean on defense. Like you said, I think it'll be surprising if they score more than, you know, unless you're talking about a garbage time thing or some kind of fluky,
yeah,
type touchdown. I would be surprised if they score more than, say, 14 or so points. I just don't think, when you look at them averaging what they have in the last few games, what they did, 6 offensive points against Virginia Tech, you know, we'll see. I think they're going to have a good day. And Florida State's defense has played well. I mean, this is something that, yeah, I tweeted out, and we'll just talk about this real quick because I know we're kind of running a little bit longer than I thought here. But I will say that Florida State's defense has played well. And I tweeted about this earlier. When you look at, they just deserve a little bit more respect. They're 13th in advanced metrics. They're, yep, 21st in scoring defense at 18.6 points per game, which comes down to 15.6 points per game if you remove the defensive touchdowns that were given up and the kickoff return. They're the only defense to hold LSU, who is the number one offense in college football, to under 500 yards and under 30 points. And we know they technically, yes, held them to 17 if you don't count the garbage time touchdown.
Correct.
They are third in passing touchdowns allowed, with only 3 allowed this season. They are first in completion.
Think about that. Go back to that one for a second. And in the era of college football we live in, they've only given up 3 passing touchdowns this whole season.
That's a crazy stat. And then they're also first in completion percentage allowed at only 50.2%. They've only allowed 1 offensive touchdown in the second half of games in the last 4 games. And when you look at their last 3 games, they've only allowed an average of 8.6 points per game. So this defense is really starting to get things rolling. They have been really good against the pass. And to be fair, I understand they haven't faced a lot of great passing quarterbacks. But, you know, someone brought up when I talked about that, they said, okay, well, we've really struggled against the rush. But I think you also have to take into account that Florida State has played 5 mobile quarterbacks, or at least the threat of being mobile. When you talk, correct, about Riley Leonard, we know, right, that he wasn't mobile, but when he started the game, you expected that the ability might be there. They played 5 dual threat quarterbacks in the first 7 games. And something that my reply to that was, the pressure rate hasn't been terrible. Now, we know they haven't really produced a whole lot in sacks, but, mm-hmm, when you talk about the guys who weren't mobile, that's basically Klubnik, Leonard with 1 leg, and Bielan, who came in after he got injured.
Right.
So Florida State is averaging 39.2% of dropbacks are pressured. So that's still pretty good. You know, you're still almost 40% of dropbacks you're getting pressure. Against those 3 guys, that number jumps to 55.4, and you sack Klubnik 4 times. So, mm-hmm, if you get an opportunity, and you touched on it before, where Griffith is more of he's a scrambling guy. He can run the ball. But when you look at the schedule going forward, there's not a lot of dual threat quarterbacks. You know, if Tyler Van Dyke's back from Miami, that's another, right, one that their backup is a little more mobile than he is. But I'll be interested to see how they do with pressure sacks and the run game going forward, now that they're not going to be facing a lot of dual threat guys, now that they can kind of pin their ears back and come after some of these guys.
Right. Right. Yeah. Not have to worry about, you know, as much containing the edge, you know, keeping everybody contained, because they're worried that the guy's going to break out for 20 yards. You know, like you said, depending on, Tyler Van Dyke comes back, you know, Emory Williams, I think, for Miami, is a little bit of a scrambler there. And I said this to you in the pregame or the pre-show, that Mertz for Florida, he's sneaky. He's a sneaky runner. You know, I think they sleep on him, and then he breaks out for 15 yards here or there. So he's not a scrambler, but he is sneaky. But he's still very much more stationary than the other quarterbacks we face. And so I have a feeling that, you know, if Griffith plays, he's definitely going to be running for his life, because that line, again, if the referees call it correctly, cannot hold up against, you know, Fabian Lovett and Brandon Fisk and Patrick Payton and Jared Verse and all those guys there, Joshua Farmer. They're not going to be able to hold up. I imagine that this is going to be a big time. Let's not get so crazy out of our rush lanes, but let's push people. And then our linebackers have to have a head on a swivel. We have to play sound gap defense. We cannot get out of our gaps. We can't fall for the eye candy. If we do not, if Florida State does not fall for the eye candy, they stay disciplined in their rush and their rushing and their lanes. I expect that sack number to go right on up.
Right. And like you said, with the offensive line, they can't hold up, but they can hold on. It's just whether it gets called or not. You know what I mean?
That's
and,
right. That's
and it's
right.
funny, like when you look at these two, it's like when you go back to the Rocky movies and with Mr. T in there, and it's like, what do you predict? Pain. Like, I think whoever starts a quarterback might not finish the game because he's going to get punished in this one.
Oh, I'd love to see an old school Florida State
right,
legal and that's, hit.
That's the thing is I just think Florida State's defense has really kind of been a strength that doesn't get as much credit. Everyone likes to kind of bash him for having, you know, not a great total defensive ranking. We've talked about that in the past, but this defense deserves some respect.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of defense, we're going to talk about Wake Forest defense. It's been better than their offense. It is their strength, which is kind of strange to say about Wake Forest. Normally, they're an offensive-led team. Their defense has been pretty decent this year, but they haven't played a whole lot of tough teams. So scoring defense comes in at 22.1 points per game allowed, 46 in the country. But like we talked about in those last four games against the better competition, they have given up a little bit more than that with 23.5 points per game. So, you know, they still have been pretty good. They haven't given up over 30 points this entire season. So that's going to be something to watch there. Passing defense, 85th in the country, 239 yards per game allowed. They have not faced any top 40 defenses as far as passing offenses. Florida State is at 37th. So this will be by far the best passing offense they faced so far this season. Yeah. Rushing defense, 128 yards per game, 50th. You know, not great, not bad. Third down defense, 36. Red zone defense, 21st, which is pretty good. So when you look at the defensive metrics, they're not that bad. Now, again, there's some pressure statistics that we'll talk about as well that kind of is a little bit of smoke and mirrors here. So they've created 105 pressures on the year, and Florida State's at 123, just to give you some perspective there. But like we talked about now, they have generated 17 sacks, which is tied for 50th, 2.43 a game. But 15 of those came in two games.
Yeah.
They've had two sacks in five other games, which is kind of crazy. And the thing I even had, like, their best defensive end, Jasheen Davis, had five sacks in the first three games, Elon Vandy and ODU. He has had zero in the last four. So once they went against some pretty decent teams, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Florida State has an NFL offensive line by any means. We know that's kind of been one area that they've struggled this year, but they've done pretty good as far as pass blocking goes. I think they should be able to keep Jordan upright in this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is not a game, as we've all been clamoring for, where I think Jordan needs to run. Now, if Mike Norvell chooses to do that, the offense just gets insanely dynamic. And I mean, it's just over because the Jordan running takes his offense to another level. I don't think this is a game that we need to risk Jordan for. I think this is a wide receiver game. I think this is a run straight at Wake. Do not. I know Mike Norvell, if you're watching this, and you're still like tinkering with the game plan, do not run to the side of Wake Forest because they will shoot up those gaps. Okay. And they're small and they're nimble and they can get through the gaps. Run at them, run some inside zone, outside zone. Do not run counter. Let's just put counter to bed for this weekend. Because if you run straight at them, though our offensive line has not been what we thought it was going to be running into the season, that defensive line is so small. We should at least move them 2 to 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. Let's run straight at them. Let's get in the pony, as I call it. It's basically the pistol offense where we have the two tight ends. We got the running back, you know, coming out of the backfield there, and Jordan's in the shotgun. And let's just run Trey straight down right into that because it should blow them up. They are a small defensive line. I don't think we need to run Jordan. I think it's a wide receiver game. I think it's a running back game. And hopefully by the third quarter, Jordan's got a baseball hat on.
Yeah, I hope so as well. And I will say, like, as far as running Jordan, we've talked about this 100 times before. I think Jordan's most valuable ability is availability. So you don't want him to take any unnecessary shots. He doesn't need to run the ball unless it's like he's avoiding pressure and he just sees it and it's there. I wouldn't be mad at him running it maybe five or less times, just if it's wide open. Don't do anything sketchy, but just enough to keep them honest. I think also really just showing that on the Duke film, I think yes. that is going to at least make teams respect it, because we saw in the Duke game where they did not respect that early on.
No, they didn't.
And so when they went to the adjustment in the second half, they couldn't recover fast enough because they didn't expect it. And so I think now you at least have that on film, but it would be maybe nice if they ran him a few times just to keep him honest. But I will say, to your point on the defensive line, Florida State's offensive line, no matter what they've been good or bad at, they got size. And
yes,
I looked it up in the preseason when I was looking at this, because I noticed how big they were. Of course, it depends on who's playing. But when you look at the starting five, I averaged out like the starting eight guys that I thought could contribute. And they have an average weight of around 313 pounds. So Florida State has size. So like you said, it makes sense to really just run right at them, just kind of bulldoze them out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just run right at them. And I mean, yeah, going back to your point with Jordan, I mean, if you know, I think there's a misconception when I went back and watched the Duke replay on the TV copy. You know, we all assumed, and I did too, and I was there at the game, that, man, why won't they run Jordan? They actually Mike Norvell called plays that had the read option on it where Jordan could have pulled some of them. I think his automatic read, or maybe just an understanding, was like, hey, if I don't got to run here and I think my backs can get it, I'm gonna just keep giving it. And then I think they went into halftime and they're like, all right, dude, you're gonna have to keep some of these. And he was like, all right, let's go, right? And so in this weight game, I imagine that Mike will call, of course, some read options, some RPOs. And that was a huge note for me. When I watched the Clemson game, the RPO game is the kryptonite to Wake's defense, because they're so small and they can't get out. Having the three layer option of run, keep, or throw it just eats them alive. I mean, when Pitt ran it, and I don't know why they got away from it, they were unstoppable. Like, Wake couldn't stop them. I mean, they just marched right down the field. And so for Florida State, I would love to see a lot of RPO calls in this game, where, you know, we show the run with the potential read. Maybe Jordan pulls it, runs a little bit, get Bell or Morlock or even Biscuit with his butt catch in the little open field, dump it off to them. Let's go. Because Wake is going to play a lot of that zone defense. And what I loved about it was that when Duke played that zone defense, it actually allowed Jordan to not try to hit the over the top route because he sees man coverage, but to hit all that underneath stuff, which basically opened up the offense. So when he did go deep on that crossing route to Keon, on that snag by Jordan Wilson there, I mean, it just opens it up so beautifully. And so I think Wake will play some of that cover four, cover three, you know, rotate the safety down, a little robber action there, and it will allow Jordan to hit some of that underneath stuff that will then bring them up. Because the thing that I did see that's interesting is that when teams play man coverage against Florida State on offense, Jordan's gonna, he has this season, he has taken that below average deep throw when he sees man coverage, because he believes, rightfully so, that his guys can beat your guy,
right?
But but teams are now like are keying in on that. So they're playing a lot more zone. So now he's hitting that underneath route, which is opening up the offense. And, you know, I imagine that Destiny Hill should potentially be back this week. You know, honestly, I hope they don't play Wilson. Like, we need him for Miami. So like, if he can stay and whatever's going on can get better, let's hold him out. But yeah, I think the underneath stuff should eat a lot this weekend.
I agree. And when you were talking about it, I was thinking back to the little bit of Pitt film that I was able to watch. They really played a very soft shell type of coverage, that zone coverage. And I'm also with you. I don't think Johnny Wilson should play this week. I don't think you have to play him this week. I don't even think, you know, maybe you keep him in emergency situation against Pitt, and then you just really kind of save that for Miami.
Yep.
But I agree. When you looked at the covers that they played, I think this is going to be another game where the tight ends can really take over, where you can get your three very talented tight ends involved in this one. You know, you can maybe get some work out of the backfield with your running backs to open some things up with the covers that they play. But at the same time, if they mess around, and, you know, we'll keep it G here, but if they F around and find out with Keon Coleman, that's a different animal. So
that's a different animal.
Right. The first time you man up on Keon with a Wake Forest DB, it's going to be in trouble, because that's something, and the personnel may be different this year, but last year when you talk about Clemson, they really couldn't hardly throw the ball. But I want to say DJ threw for over 400 yards in that game last year.
Yes, he did.
And really a lot of it was just chunk it up and let your receiver go get it. And that's something that you could see Keon. I imagine if Johnny Wilson doesn't play, they're almost going to have to double cover him. I mean,
Yeah, they're going to have to bracket cover Keon. And I love Keon so much. Did you see, just a side note, this is perfect because it was against Duke, but also really against Miami, was because the corner for Duke, Al Blaze, who transferred. There's a play where it's an option read, and Jordan hands it off, but Keon kind of does a little move on him and makes the guy fall, and then he points at him, and it's just like, man, Miami can't win for losing.
I know, he juked him out of his shoes, like, hey, you might want to go pick up your ankles over there at the 30-yard line. And it's funny, too, I actually saw where he not only did the Al Blades kid, he tweeted out at one point a few years ago before he transferred that he had never lost to FSU, and now he's 0-3
against
Florida State since that tweet. And I love Keon Coleman. He is one of my favorite players to come to FSU just because I love his little trolls. He actually, I saw one where there was a picture on Instagram where he was pointing at the DB and he tagged him in it. So it's like, not only did I beat you, but I'm going to let you know that I beat you too.
Oh, that's great.
I think that is funny. So yeah, man, I just think, like, when you talk about what Florida State should be able to do against this one, in the scoring offenses, they've only faced one in the top 50, and that's Clemson at 50th. Mm. Florida State is fifth in scoring offense. Whew. So they have not faced anything like what Florida State's going to bring to town. So to me, that's going to be really interesting. In advanced metrics, the best one that they faced is Clemson at 33rd, and we know Florida State is top 15 there. So again, when you talk about it in the advanced metrics, the offensive that they played are 33rd, 60th, 73rd, 83rd, 87th, 103rd, and an FCS team. And Florida State is, I believe we said 12th.
Yeah.
So, or 13th. So you're talking about, again, a massive increase in what you're going to face on this offense. So I think Florida State... Again, that's why I think Florida State is going to have a good day on offense. I just think the two things that are really interesting to me as we get ready to give our score prediction here is, like you said initially, these games have kind of been low scoring every time we play Wake Forest. And the other thing that I find interesting, which I used this in my logic in the score prediction, was it kind of comes back to where you look at Duke. So Florida State has, we know, scored 30-plus points in 13 consecutive games. They're still on that streak, maybe a little nervous against Duke, but then they pulled it out at the end.
Yes, they did.
But Wake Forest has not given up 30 points yet. They've only given up 30, so they have not given up over 30. So can Florida State hit that mark again against a pretty okay defense? You know, they're pretty average. But at the same time, I also will point out that we know Duke had not given up over 21 points yet this season, and they had were in the same situation. They had not faced any great offenses with Notre Dame in the 50s as their best offense. Florida State comes in and scores 38 on them. So I feel like, again, it's going to be a similar story where they haven't given up a lot of points, but that's a lot to do with who they played, and Florida State's going to find ways. You know, because, I mean, they've scored 30-plus points on a lot better defenses than this. It's just, like you said, it's just – That just, team in that place with those types of things kind of do make you a little bit nervous there. So as we get ready to give our score prediction here, we did this last week, and I think it'll be a little bit kind of fun to end on here too. So how does Wake Forest win this game? I think it really has to be, you're going to have to get your usual home cooking. You're going to need the penalties. You're going to need some turnovers. You're going to need maybe a special teams or a defensive play. I think that's how Wake Forest hangs around in this one. I don't see it in the cards for them, but I think if you get, you know, Florida State, and hopefully they don't, but if you get the kind of situation like you pointted out with Pitt, and like I said with Georgia Tech, where you get 100-plus yards and penalties, maybe a couple turnovers, maybe they break a special teams play, that's really, to me, about the only way they're going to come away with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Florida State shows up, gets off the bus, gets their uniform on, walks out, looks at tiny old Wake Forest and thinks, oh, yeah, we're going to kill them, and then, you know, just slogs through the game, yeah, you're going to look up at the fourth quarter and you're going to be in a game, right? And so it's about the little details of, like, yes, you know, I'm going to hold my block as long as I have to. I'm going to actually, you know, step the right direction. I'm going to use the right footwork. Like, it's just the little things. This is a business trip, Florida State. So if Florida State takes this for granted, Yeah, that's how Wake Forest wins this game. Because on paper, on visual, on athletes, on whatever thing you want to use, Wake Forest should not be in this game after the first quarter. They should not, right? But if Florida State does not take this seriously, Wake Forest will not only be in the game, they might win the game. Because the last 10 times Florida State has played at Snuggy Hill, as we like to call it, at Winston-Salem, they're 6-4. They've lost the last two. And let me just give you the scores of the last two games. Florida State, or actually, let me just do this. You know, Florida State has not scored 30 points in the last four meetings of this game at Wake Forest. They've not. They've not even broached it. They had 24, 26, 20, and 14. We have to show up with a killer mindset that we are going to rip these dudes apart. And I think if we do that, we should be done by the first quarter.
Yep. It's like the analogy that I use too many times on the show. You got to smash a gnat with a sledgehammer. So you
Thank
just
you.
Come in and just knock them out.
Yes.
Just ruin their hopes. Cause you just can't let a team like this hang around. And we know Florida State's had some, you know, slow periods that sometimes they get off to a fast start. Teams call back in the second half or in the second quarter before they put it on in the second half. And, you know, maybe Florida State is just a second half team, but you would like to see them really kind of put together a full game in this one and just not limit the mistakes, because I think that's how Florida State, like you just touched on, I think that's how they win this game. I think you win the battle in the trenches like you should. You should dominate this offensive line, and you should be fine keeping Jordan upright to be able to make these plays. I think you should be able to push around their defensive line. And if you can limit the mistakes outside of the penalties that you're going to get screwed on, because you know it's going to happen.
You know it's going to happen.
If you can limit things like that, I think Florida State should really be able to win this game. And
I mean, just look at that Virginia Tech game. They were right. Everybody's like, oh, no, no, Virginia Tech might be trapped. Blah, blah, blah. Virginia Tech came in. Florida State was up on them 22-0 in the first quarter. 22-0. Now, yeah, they had the little slog of the, you know, they let them get back in the game, but they were up 22-0. So, and if they score on that one, I can't remember what the thing was, but if they score there, the game's over. The game is complete. It's 29-0. The game's over, right? When they go to Wake Forest, if they can get up like that, but then think, no, we're not done. No, we're going to put the nail in the coffin. We are going to take that sledgehammer to that gnat, and we're going to beat it so bad that you can't even see it anymore. And then by halftime, you're like, yeah, we're cruising. We're at 60-0.
Yeah, I want to see some Tate Rodemaker in this game. I'm ready to see some backup. So as we get ready to give our score prediction, so here was my thought process on this. And when you told me about some of the stats before the show when we were getting ready for everything, you kind of made me second guess my score prediction. Yeah. So my logic in the score prediction was, so Wake Forest has scored an average of 13.75 points per game in their last four games against ACC opponents. And those were not great ACC opponents. You're by far the best one of the four. They've allowed 23.5 points per game over that span. So right now in their last four games, they're averaging around 23.5 to 14. Clemson was the only offense that they have played in that span that has averaged over 30 points. Actually, the offense in general that is averages over 30 points per game at 30.4. So barely. Now, Florida State is coming in averaging 41.6 points per game, and you just put up 38 offensive points against a much better defense. Like I touched on, Wake Forest has not given up over 30 points in a game this season. Meanwhile, FSU has scored 30 points in every game this season. So you kind of get into who's going to blink first. And I just think that I feel good when you look at that 13.75 points per game number. They did have that doesn't include Clemson, who has a good defense. And I feel pretty good about that. Now, I will say, before we get into our score prediction, that it depends on who plays quarterback. Because I feel like, kind of like last week with Leonard, Griffith is at least more comfortable running the offense. So you're probably going to see things flow a little better with him in the game, whether or not he's the better thrower, runner, whatever. He's going to be able to run that offense a little bit better. And that's why they used Riley Leonard in that game, because he ran the offense better. So I feel good about Florida State, even with Griffith in the game, holding them to around 14 points. I think if it's the backup, he did throw the game-winning touchdown against Pitt, but he also had two picks. I'm thinking that Florida State can hold them to around 10 points there. it was the offense that made me a little nervous that you made me second guess on. So I had Florida State winning 41-14. I thought it was just going to kind of go up there, you know, ACC revenge tour. We're going to, pardon my French, deliver a little bit of a ass whipping up there. Because
let's go.
We need it. Like, this is, come on. Like, just smoke yes. these freaking demon deacons. Like, let's go up there and do an exorcism and just pull the demon out of the deacon.
Let's
and,
go.
And bury him. That's what I'm hoping for. I could see with the situation that you laid out where you could win this game kind of like a, if maybe the backup or whatever, a 34-10 type of game or even like a 34-6 type of game. I think you feel really good about limiting their offense.
Yep.
It's just I think Florida State will score over 30 points, but maybe I would look at like a 34-10 type of game too.
Okay, man.
Although I want like 72-0, but I'll settle for like 56-6. I'll take that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, okay. So, yeah, I gave those stats earlier in the game. You know, FSU is 6-4 in their last 10 games over the course since 2002. FSU is 6-4 last 10 games in Winston-Salem. They lost the last two. Scores were 35-14 and then 22-20. They tend to go up there. Wake Forest, when Florida State has played Wake Forest at Wake Forest over the last 10 years, Florida State has scored almost 29 points, Wake Forest 22 points. And it doesn't matter what era of coaching staff and all like that, you know, outside of there's only been four times in the last four, or I'm sorry, there have only been four times in the last 10 games at Wake Forest that Florida State has scored 30 or more points. Four times in the last 10 times. So you know it's going to be one of those games. With also, Wake Forest is averaging 18.5 points at home in ACC play. That's only two home games they played against ACC play. They're averaging 27.5 points at home in all four of their home games. With all that being said, I would love to call this like a 59-3 2013 game. I would love it. I wish I could predict that. But just knowing Wake Forest, knowing the slanted officiating that we're 99.9% going to get, I'm going to go 31-10 Florida State. I think they break the barrier. They score 30 points, keeps the streak alive. They win. We're not super happy, but we're happy that we're not in the fourth quarter sweating out a game.
Right. And I will say, I mean, when you look at that, you still cover the spread. It's 20.5 correct. Points. That's a 21-point win. So you won the game like you were expected to. And I don't think that's really anything to shake a stick at, especially if you look at if they get into garbage time in this game. Right. How much does that affect your final score too? Because that could have a lot to do with it. We know Florida State, a lot of the points that they've given up in the second half were in garbage time. We talk about Southern Miss and LSU. And then, you know, Florida State may not score at the same clip with the backups in.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like this is also a game that you should wear Wake Forest down. They don't have nearly the depth that you do. So you're hoping in the fourth quarter that even bringing in some of your twos off the bench, they're going to be as good as what Wake Forest runs as their starter. So hopefully you can just kind of bull on them there. But, yeah, I mean, if you cover the spread and you get the win, knowing what Wake Forest has been, that thorn in your side the last few years, I think you're happy to just get out of there with a win.
Get out of there. No injury, nothing. Just get out of there.
Right. That's really what you want to do. But like you said, I just think it's going to be a win. It just may not be extremely dominant, but I think they should, you know, kick the mess out of Wake Forest. I'll just say that. Like, I think they should kick the mess out of them. And this is a game, too, where I feel like you said exactly what you said early with the Virginia Tech game. If this game starts to spiral for Wake Forest, I could see this one getting out of hand, like a 52-6 type of game. If things really start to, you know, if they just cannot block you and you get some strip sacks or, you know, maybe Florida State, maybe I'll make a bold prediction. They even get a defensive touchdown in this game.
Oh, I love it.
Like a strip sack touchdown or something like that. We'll see, you know, and that's something that Mike Norvell, they're really good at identifying these opportunities. They did that with the kickoff last week. So I think if it does come unraveled for Wake Forest, you could see this one get pretty ugly. But we'll just have to see. But I'm excited, man. It's just another opportunity to watch Florida State go handle their business. Like you said, it's a business trip.
This is
just one step closer. We talked about this in the last episode. When you are 7-0 and you're competing for the things that you're competing for, every game is critical at this point.
Absolutely.
Because you can afford to win this game by 7 points. You cannot afford to lose this game.
No, you cannot.
every single game is going to be important. This week is a trap game. Next week is a trap game. Every game is a trap game because every game is eminently important when yes. you are now competing at the highest level. So
yes. you're not playing, you're not like the thing, and I think Mike Norvell is a genius for this. The thing that they have to understand, and I know he will try to get them to understand, is this. Yes, you're playing against Wake Forest. That is the opponent in front of you, but you're not really playing Wake Forest. You're playing against yourself. You're playing against the potential of you showing up and taking this for granted. You're playing against like, oh, this is an off opponent. We're going to blow them out. So I'm going to just take it easy. I'm just going to jog. I'm not going to pursue hard enough. I'm not going to block long enough. I'm not going to do this or that and that. No, you're playing against yourself. The right. best teams look at games like this and say, yeah, how high can we get this score? Right.
Right.
Come right. in with that mentality.
Yeah. And I really think like when you look at this game, being that who it is, it's Wake Forest. I think one, getting over the hump would be huge, just to snap that 3-game yes. streak and to get the win against a team that's been a thorn in your side. I think if you win this game 34-17 or something like that, it's a decent ACC win, kind of like the other ones that you've said. It's not really a game you can make a statement in,
right?
Unless it's a BC type of game or it's a blowout. Now, if you go right. up there and you beat Wake Forest 59-6 or something crazy like that, I think you're going to be more where people are going to, because people still doubt FSU. Like people are still right. hating on Florida State. They still yep. love to think Florida State doesn't belong where they belong. You know, and everybody says everybody hasn't played anybody, but you know, I just think with this one, you can prove a point, but it's either yep. going to be a point where it was a scare and it was too close, or it yep. was, you can blow them out, you know, but you have an opportunity to prove a point, even in a game like Wake Forest. So yep. just going up there and looking like Florida State can for four quarters. I think that's, like you said, you're competing against yourself. It's not so much about the outcome of the game. It's how it looks. And if you yeah. can dominate them in the first, say, 2.5 quarters and then put in the backups and get a big win, I think it's a good win for your resume, even if it is against a kind of middling Wake Forest team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to move the needle as far as the college football playoffs unless you lose this game. You lose this game, they write you out, you're done. Then you're focusing only on the ACC championship game. And man, we have so, you know, coming into this season, you know, I think, and I was with you that I had Clemson as an L. You know, I thought we were 11-1 team that was growing. But now that we've gotten past this, and we still have two, you know, more difficult games, not as difficult as the early season with Miami and Florida, but difficult enough. They're rivalry games. But man, you're like, you're not even thinking, like the ACC is the low end of right. your goal now, right?
It's a consolation prize.
It's a consolation prize. Like you're actually thinking, based on what you've seen in college football, based on what you're doing, you're like, oh man, we might, not only do we have a shot at getting into playoffs, we have a shot at almost winning the whole thing.
Right. You have a good shot. And I think when, like you said, when you look at the national picture and you keep in mind that you would get Daryl Jackson back in a yes. postseason scenario, then it's like, all right. I mean, as long as you stay healthy and you have some guys and you work, you know, everyone's available and you work on some things and you get some things ironed out by the end of the season, because, you know, you still got a lot of games left to work right. on some things. Yeah, Florida State could mess around, and they're good as anybody out there right now. And, you know, again, we'll see with Michigan yep. when they stop cheating, if they're any good or not. You know, they play Purdue this Saturday, so we won't really know much about, or that's their next game. I think they might be on a bye this week. That's but then right. they got some tough games coming up. So, yeah, man, as we get ready to wrap up here, I just, you know, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm excited yep. because I wanted to see with this one how Florida State plays in the games that they should win by 20-plus
right. points.
That's just kind of one of how you see. Do they dominate the competition like they should, like they did last year when we saw them play some of the worst, you know, the worst teams coming out of the bye? They dominated right. them like they're supposed to. And that's an opportunity for this one. But more than anything, man, I'm just looking for a revenge tour trip up to Winston-Salem to beat down the Demon Deacons and serve yeah. them some humble pie. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm excited. So like we said, guys, Saturday at noon, this game's kicking off in Winston-Salem, Florida State versus Wake Forest. We are going to be trying to squeeze in a post-game show afterwards if we have time, so be on the lookout for that. Of course, check out plantspear.com. We're going to be putting yes, sir. Out our preview and prediction article coming up. Of course, Michael always has the game wrap ready for us afterwards to kind of relive the game through his thoughts. And we appreciate everybody's support. Thank yes, you guys sir. For tuning in. And as always, guys, go Noles.
Go Noles.